wie Jose mir sich vorstellen. Ich bin ein Mensch mit Chuzpe und Gern. Und doch gehandelt mit Eiern der Schoß. Schön Wando auf der Welt. Als Jesus hat eine großen Krise gehabt. Am Morgen Jerusalem. Ich hab gesehen, wie Porsches Pilat hat gemacht, wie ne Piles Jedaim. Sehr angenehm, wisst ihr, wer ich bin? Wir haben vorn zusammen, aber sag ich nicht wohin.
А вы не бойтесь, дяденьки, тетеньки, у меня хороший вкус. Я обижаю только плохих, хороших я сам боюсь. Зовут меня Завуткою, рисуют с рогами и хвостом. Обычно я появляюсь на святке, а иногда великим постом. У меня такой пушистый.
Ah, Hautzlach and Bagris from Tel Aviv, Israel. Here we are with the new Yiddish Rep Radio Hour. We're here in Tel Aviv at Kerem HaTemonim, and we're visiting with our new friends, Enav,
Yoav,
and
Dan.
And we have a very special guest tonight, Mendy Kahan, the founder and director of Yom Yiddish.
Shalom Aleichem.
Zoga Shalom with me. And Kim, sit still late. And I have performed today, Yasser Rockefeller Speaks to God, at Mendy's, I don't know, what would you call it, Mendy, the place in...
It's several things at the same time. It's a library, it's a cultural center, it's a book collection center, and it's a lively Yiddish museum. We sometimes call it Jung Yiddish, for short.
Jung Yiddish, and it is located in one of the most bizarre buildings I have ever been in. It's the new bus station in Tel Aviv. It's a Kafka-esque structure, in which you can lose yourself forever, wandering around looking for somebody to show you, where you are.
If you can lose yourself, you can also find yourself.
Azoy. So, Mendy, how long ago did you start Yung Yiddish?
Yung Yiddish, the Yung Yiddish story is already like some 20 years ago, 1990, approximately, I started it.
Uh-huh.
But it started in Jerusalem. And this place where you will be performing and we're all awaiting you to perform in Jerusalem on Wednesday is actually the first place of Yung Yiddish. But then we kept on collecting books and our collection grew, so we needed more space, more Lebensraum. And so here we are in the central bus station. Yes.
And I understand that now this is a building that is mostly empty. And Yung Yiddish is one of the most vibrant things in that building, if not in this whole town. And you're having some problems now, aren't you? With
some problems? What do you mean some problems? Serious. I have a lot of problems. look, you know, the status of Yiddish in Israel is an interesting one, to say the least. Like, on the one hand, Yiddish is... even, I think, more alive in Israel than in the United States or even Europe, like in the soul of the people, in the memory of the people, in they heard it, the interest, like we had great writers here, like the readership of the great writers which were in New York, like Chaim Grade, Vashevi Singer, Leyeles, Levik. Actually, the best readership was living in Israel.
Mm.
And this is why our book collection is also such an interesting one, because you find books from all over the world. But the acknowledgement was zero from the authorities, like as if Yiddish doesn't exist and so forth. So this is why it is so interesting to have Yung Yiddish in Israel, and why we're in such a strange situation where the municipality or the ministries of education, they don't want to help us. Like they claim that Yiddish is important. The words are there, the structure, like the words are there, but the neshume, they don't really want to help, and that's a big problem. And we try to change this, and it takes so much time. You
know? Nee, do a Hoffnung afshir as that kennen. Etwas aufgehen, du, mit der Regierung?
Teil, du, mit euch mal halb tun zu reden in Jiddisch, ja. Das erwartet du auch hoffen. weil, bis wie lang siehst du ein Jiddisch Herz, ein Jiddisch in der Schumme, wie soll noch sein, ist du Hoffnung? Jiddisch hat noch eine Sache zu suchen, eine Sache zu dienen, eine Sache zu beneien, und ich meine, es auch für hebräische Kultur, eine neue, moderne, jesolidische Kultur, jesolidische Beneiung, Hot ist es wichtig, also sagen, wie jetzt a Schuten, a Zwillingbrüder, a Eufen. Jews were never monolithical. We always have several cultures in our mind. We have if the Hebrew, then we have the Aramaic, we have different, we have 16 Jewish languages and so forth. So we need all this in order to be healthy, like we need all these bits. Verwusst red ich jetzt weiter Englisch?
Also jeder eine soll verstehen. Ja. Auch die Kinder und auch die Eltern.
And besides that, as you said, we're not a monolithic culture.
Wir können tanzen hin und zurück.
Ach, schon, dass man hat nicht du Englisch und was red Ladino. Wollt es euch geben?
Ja, no.
Der Chagav, is Ladino still exist in Israel at all?
Ladino, es ist eine interessante Sache. Wenn in 1996 hat die Regierung in Israel so beschlossen, als Ladino in Jiddisch sind ein Teil von der Kultur und davon abgehalten werden. Okay, it took them a while, but good that they decided. And then, what do we have? The Ladino, there was Yitzhak Navon, who was sensitive to Ladino. He became the head of the committee. They organized in 1 year. They sat down and they started working. It was a decision that the committees have to be formed. The Yiddish, they started to put on the committee. So it started the whole story, you know. Ich will nicht sitzen mit dem. Ob jene Kind will ich nicht. Ob mit uns sitzen, will ich nicht mit seiner Schitte. In a Moshe Yankel, it took them 12 years to put the committee together. While Navon was already working and doing for Ladino good things. And then, if in the andere Saat...
sound familiar? Does this sound familiar to some of you over there?
No. And then you ask me what happened 12 years later when the committee started to sit already. Yeah. Hashem, so haben sich schon eine Mitte gesagt. They sat down. They couldn't utter a word because sie haben sich schon umgehen zu kriegen. So then they like for the kids says Nebuch. I mean, ob die Idiot wird nicht gewesen, man wird doch auch gelacht. But this is
that we have to spell in English. Yeah. If the idiot wasn't mine, I'd laugh also.
So this is the story with Ladino. Look, Ladino is maybe so a little bit better structured, but the. It is also a little bit an historical fallacy to put Ladino and Yiddish together in the same bag because they're if you put them in the same bag, then you could put also 16 other Jewish languages in the same bag. But the impact was completely different. The proportions were completely different. Like in Ladino, there's a nice folklore and song and music and so forth. They never had 1.5 million of kids studying in school system that they invented. And there was never such press. There was never this proportions of literary innovation and creation. So, and there were none of these political parties. So it's a different story. Anyway, both are fine. And Alevai, that both should flower, yes, but it's a different story and it should be tackled differently.
I just want to welcome, we are the guests once again of
Yoav.
Yoav and Dan, they're sitting here, and we have Ida Friedman here. Don't worry, nobody listens to this show. So this is the most unlistened to radio show in the world.
No, then
people tell me, "Oh, I heard your show the other day." But I like to make. I like
these
to
are angels.
Yes,
this is the angels.
This is the angels speaking. But we've just been offered soup by our hosts.
If you want,
okay. Look, if we get to the point the technology allows, we would send you all some soup. Everybody there. Including our engineer in Paradise, California. Can you believe there's a place called Paradise, California?
Where?
And this is where the show originates.
In
Gun Eden, California. No, I hope to be able to play some of Mendy's music for you. Mendy is an extremely talented entertainer. And in many ways,
I would say the same about you if you wouldn't be the presentator. You know, then they would think that I try to.
I understand. We're trying technically to put it together so that we can put some of Mendy's music on. But are you on iTunes? Is your stuff on iTunes? Do you know?
But I'm on YouTube a little bit.
Okay, so if you look at YouTube and the where should they look?
If they type in Mendy Kahan, M-E-N-D-Y, and then Kahan, C-A-H-A-N.
Okay.
And the space in between the two.
Okay,
words.
If we can get it together within the hour, we'll play some of Mendy's music. We kind of got caught here at the last minute. You know, we're in Tel Aviv, and we're far from home. But
what do you mean far from home?
No, home is the world now. This is home, right? Edie, right?
Edie,
I'm sorry. Edie. So Mendy, what are the activities of Yung Yiddish now here in Berlin?
Well, I can just say that this afternoon, you know exactly what activity was. This afternoon we had Yossel Rakover Speaks with God. Two performances, a matinee and an evening performances, was delightful. Like, it was a chance for the Israeli audience to have a taste of the new Yiddish rap theater and of David Mandelbaum. And I thank you, David, for coming and for offering your, because as you probably guessed, we have really small budgets. But this is how we work. We give a space. We love to give creative space for creative people. And this is how we have developed during the last 20 years in a quite very versatile ways, which I think is unique for Yiddish organizations. Yung Yiddish, a part of the book collection and a part of book exhibits and book readings and studying Yiddish, things that we do and making, organizing summer courses. We also have a very large arena of creative cultural activities, like we have cabarets, concerts, theater, performance art, in all kinds of ways. And because we don't have a budget, and because so we have to be open to what is happening in life, what is existing in this world. And so if there's a chuset, or if there's a singer, then we just must attract them and let them work. So this is the, and we have done a lot of things, really, that you can look at our website, which is simply Yiddish, you know, Yiddish, .co.il, and you can have a taste of what we have done in the last years. To acknowledge writers which were unacknowledged, to have lecturers come, Yiddish lecturers, storytellers, Yiddish storytellers who work together with French storytellers and see how it works together, like all kinds of classical music and Yiddish, what you name it. I mean, or if you propose it, we are willing to try it. Like, we're willing to take risks. Cater for specific audiences. Like, it's not just for religious or just for secular. Or we like to blur the limits and go beyond them and transcend them and do all kinds of good things. No, take the microphone from me and speak something.
Well, and I have to say that so far the experience here with Mendy has been delightful. As you can tell, he's a delightful fellow, and his conversation is always stimulating. We've managed already to have quite long conversations about the future of Yiddish and the inability of Yiddishists to cooperate. But I wanted to ask Mendy, what is the situation in terms of Yiddish, apart from Jung Yiddish?
Yeah.
What other Yiddish organizations can you work with here? Are they willing to work? Are they? Has the government been forthcoming at all? I know that we have Yiddish Spiel here, and how is your relationship? I can say in the United States that the relationship is just like that. You know, you go to this shul and I go to this shul, and we never step in each other's shul. Mm-hmm. Is it a similar situation? Is it different? Is there more cooperation? I wish you could see his face.
Look, it is, of course it is similar. I mean, aren't we all Jews? It is problematic, and there's a problem. There's the old guards. I mean, there was amazing writers and minds here who came after the war. I mean, talking about Sutskever, talking about Zanin, talking about... And the young Papirnikov and the younger generation, like the Eisenman and the whole Jung Yisroel, they founded. Like there were many things happening here. And as I told you, the lively readership, Chigat Schumacher, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, regretfully, they were ignored in the 50s. In the 60s, they were not so much ignored anymore after the Eichmann trial, where the Holocaust became again an issue you could talk about. But in the 70s and 80s, there were still many organizations. We missed a little bit a few important trains. Like the organizations still continue to exist, but the leadership, the minds behind them, are gone, and so these organizations are taken over by younger, sometimes willing, sometimes not so willing, sometimes the people that are more interested in the real estate than in the ideology or in the content. But so it creates a little bit of frustration. I must also say, like, you know, there are attempts of the... by the government to help Yiddish, or they have to, but these are a little bit too much of Potemkin villages, like to do as if, but not really to want to tackle to the problem. I mean, always, Israel can always point on some more important problems. I don't want to mention now this huge fire that we had, we have always big problems, so Yiddish is always shoved under the carpet a little bit. That's other cultural things too, but Yiddish especially falls. Like today, my main issue with the authorities is just to find a category where I could apply for. There's no real category for Yiddish, so you're outside of the norm.
I see. Let me ask you.
Yeah, go on.
In terms of your experience here with Jung Yiddish, are you attracting younger people? Are you? I mean, obviously, our big problem is that outside of the Hasidic community, there are no young people to continue the literary and artistic traditions of Yiddish. Mm-hmm. Are you finding any kind of following among younger people who wish to?
First of all, I am finding, or they're finding me. Look, you cannot go with a stick and hit young people and say, no, start to learn Yiddish, or it's time to. I think that it's the old adagio, like, kabita sovicho vesimecho, leman yarichon yumecho. You have to respect the generation that has gone before you in order to have a continuity. If you don't respect the older people, and you don't give them culture as it should be, you will not be able to attract younger people. That's my belief. And the Jung Yiddish way was always to just to open the doors for all, to make something for the old, which would also interest the young, and to make something for the young, which would also interest the old. Because, like, you cannot out of the blue start to make a rock concert in Yiddish, where which would be with 120 decibels to attract the young, and then the old, already a little bit deaf, would go even more deaf. That's another way to do things. I think this is a major issue. Like, oh, this question of do young people come to you? I ask, do you come to me? Like, this is, how do you expect if this is the, so first of all, but young people are coming. Now there is this generation, like people of 40, 50 years old, whose parents have gone away, and their parents was like a Yiddish presence to ignore and put aside forth. So now they've gone, and suddenly the children who are now parents or grandparents, they feel that they are the ones who need to transmit. And they start to have a problem because they have only learned not to transmit. They've learned to push their parents away, and now they are parents who need to transmit something for their children. So they start, and suddenly they find letters from their parents and they want to know what it is. So there is something is happening. By the younger people, the interest here is a serious, interesting one. It's not so much gone on nostalgia. Many go, they're attracted by the history, not so much by the songs, or they want to see what this world was about, the Altaheim. And now another thing that I try to do in order to stretch the attraction is not to stay in the shtetl world, which brings us to the 19th, 18th century, but to try to pull back, to go till the 14th century, to go till the, you know, till very old, which it's an experience I'm trying to work on, it, like to try to give a depth which goes beyond the shtetl. Maybe you can attach to it in more different ways. But this I will not not expand on that, it seems.
It's a secret project?
It's not secret. No, it's not secret, but it's a little bit not. I feel that we know, or we think that we know much about the shtetl. Like we have Shalom Aleichem, we have Bashar Wiesinger, and we etc. And we think that we have an image of the shtetl, but we don't actually. It's a very rich world, very variegated world. The shtetl in Bukovina is not the same as the shtetl in Moldavia, Transylvania. It's a Hasidic shtetl. Like the Vitebsk is something different. It's very variegated. We should go into detail of that one. But I think that also to see from where we come, like from Elio Bucher, the Middle Ages, how did we form? What did Yiddish do then? What are the folk tales that we formed? How did we touch Italian culture? How did we touch Germanic culture? How did we move from one to the other, like from Vermeisa to Prague and to Kiev? What are the ways, not to stay with this shtetl,
understand.
That's what I think.
Folks, you heard it here first on New Yiddish Rep Radio. I will be looking forward to seeing how you develop this, Mandy. In the meantime, did we organize something?
I could also speak, and maybe I will. I'll ask all our technicians here.
Okay.
I would like to say this.
In the meantime, I'm going to play something for you that I've played it here before, and it's one of my favorite songs by Psy Korolenko, and here we go. I'll play it for you again. Oh, but I have to turn the sound up. We're going to start again.
Everybody hates my people. I wish I knew the reason.
Here we go.
I'm a Jewish guy. Everybody hates my people. I wish I knew the reason why. I probably deserve it somehow. The number I wish to call cannot be completed as dialed. The number I wish to call cannot be completed at all. I am a Russian guy. Everybody hates my country. I wish I knew the reason why. Oh, I probably deserve it somehow. The number I wish to call, Russian accent, cannot be completed as dialed. The number I wish to call cannot be completed at all. I am a human guy. Everybody hates my species. I wish I knew the reason why. Am I really all that vicious? The number I wish to call, babe, cannot be completed as dialed. The number, yes, I mean completing the number, not the call. It's not a mistake. It's supposed to be like that. Completed at all. It feels so hard to sing. Come over now and give me some change. I am a poor little thing, you know. Come over here and bring me some change. The number I wish to call will never be completed as dialed. The number I wish to call. We'll never be completed anymore.
The dulcet tones of the inimitable Soy Karolenko here on New Yiddish Rep Radio Hour. And I'd just like to apprise you of some of the things that we're working on and you'll be able to participate in the future. Right now, as I've mentioned before, we are working and intend to present Jacob Adler's reinvention of The Merchant of Venice, and that will take place on January 13th at the YIVO Institute in Manhattan, and it will be at 7 o'clock. We will have a guest speaker who will make some brief remarks, Nama Sandro, the author of Vagabond Stars, which, as many of you know, is the seminal work on the history of Yiddish theater. We'll make a few comments on Shakespeare, the Bard, and our people and their relationship to him and Yiddish theater's treatment of him. And afterwards, we are going to present a staged reading of Adler's Merchant of Venice, which, don't worry, folks, it's much shorter than the original. First of all, he cut out the entire Portia subplot, because he knew that the Yidden down there on the Lower East Side didn't really care about that. And, of course, being the star that he was, he wanted to maximize Shylock's time on stage. So the easiest way to do that was to cut everything else so that, I mean, naturally, right? And we're going to be using Yosef Bubshever's translation. Yosef Bubshever was a wonderful poet, an anarchist, and a poet. He translated Emerson and other American authors into Yiddish, authors who he felt sympathetic to. And he did a beautiful translation of this. We'll be using his translation. And it should be a very interesting evening. We will have, I will be participating, as will Shane Baker, Alan Rickman and Yelena Schmulenson, Hi Wolf, and several other of our colleagues. And I hope you'll come down. That's on January 13th. Also, I want to make an announcement about the first conference, founding conference of Yiddish Farm on this Sunday, December 12th at noon, and it is going to be at the Stanton Street Synagogue down on the Lower East Side. These are a bunch of young people that are hoping to, I don't know how to describe it except to say they want to establish a Yiddish-speaking community, farming the community, farm. The Yiddish farm. What's my stiffen name?
Ich meine, dass die Kühe werden so stark freien, dass man jetzt
so viel Yiddisch. Of course. Listen, it's a great idea. It's a beautiful idea. And hopefully, if they don't start fighting with each other, we will have some...
Ja, weil kommen dort ein Essen frisches
Essen. Ah, ja, ja. And it's not organic. Biologic, weißt du?
Theologic.
It's important for a healthy mind and a healthy body. And that's what we're hoping for. That's this Sunday, December 12th. So we're back with Mendy, and it's okay, they can hear us.
Okay.
We're back with Mendy, and I'd like Mendy to talk about, his future, the programming that he does here on a regular basis, and if there's anything special on the horizon, aside, of course, from Yossel Rakover.
Yossel Rakover. Look, we have in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, we're like kind of two different units, and in Jerusalem we have now every Thursday and every Saturday night, a klezmorim. But this is not your regular klezmorim as you know them in the States, where like you have academicians studying music and then they learn klezmer. These are chassidische, heimische klezmorimlech, mit a peilech, and mit a nemna clarinet in the hand, and a nemna fiddle. They sometimes don't know notes, but they go to Miron, and they really absorb the music in the traditional way and play it in the traditional way. And we have made some... And this is something we've developed in the last few years. So another klezmorim from 4 or 5 klezmorim, they have grown to a group of 30, 40 klezmorim, playing all kinds of instruments, also with the traditional dances of Fleschl-Tanz and Brügge-Tanz and Teuten-Tanz and so forth. And so Jung Yiddish has become their home. We are very happy with this. And so this is one part of our regular programming, which people are invited to come in Jerusalem and Rochav Yirmiyahu 52 every Thursday and Saturday, Motzei Shabbos. And in Tel Aviv, and on the other hand, we continue with another programming. Like now we had the Hanukkah event, and it's a problem. Really, we try to do our best to keep it going. It is very hard. We need support, and I if there's any individual who would like to help a little bit, but I know that you hear this snoring all the time. If there is, so please, it can be very helpful. It is a worthwhile project. And so what we have also now in Tel Aviv, we made an exhibit of Kolnik, Holzschnitten von Arthur Kolnik, great artist who was born he studied in Czernowitz. Excuse me, I don't know. I forgot. I knew it. But he was a friend of Rubin, and he... went to Paris, Ecole de Paris, friends with Chagall and all that, and he made woodcuts for many of for Yudlamet Peretz, Gilgel von Aniken, and he also made woodcuts for Sutzkever's book. He also made woodcuts for Eliezer Steinberg. He was a friend of the great, great, wonderful, versatile artist, like artist of words, Eliezer Steinberg. Is, I think, maybe like to make a theater play just about Steinberg's Meshulim, like his parables. It's such a great Yiddish, great poet, great mastery of the language. Anyway, and so this Kolnik made the woodcuts, and so we made an exhibit for woodcuts. We tried to, of his woodcuts, trying to attract also people who don't have a direct knowledge of Yiddish, but so the art can maybe be more attractive. This is a quest constantly to go into different directions. This is what we have now on the desk.
I'm sure that you can hear. You don't have to be sitting here. I'm sure it comes through. What a great love this person has for Yiddish and for Yiddish culture. And that is the thing that impresses me constantly when I'm with him, is his devotion to it and his great feeling for it. So I am extremely... Oh, how about that? Hold on a minute. Hello? No, we're still on. We're still on. We're still on there. I think. I don't think we are. No, we're on. Anyway, let's get back to the show. Don't mind those little beeps and glitches, folks.
What do you mean, don't mind?
You know, you have to love it, right? So you art exhibits, and this thing about the klezmerim sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. You see,
go ahead.
What we have in it's not an artificial thing. It's just like this is what we like or we prefer. We also like artificial or newcomers. But to have authentic, like people who speak Yiddish because they speak it, because this is what they heard at home, and they would like them to do this music because this is what they know, and this is what they like, and this is what they heard. And it's funny, we have there people who are like Meron, you know, Meron, to go to Tzfat, to make music is like very ingrained in there, and then they went, and their fathers went, and their grandfathers went, and these are they know their place and their traditions, and they heard this music from him playing and that playing, and we have this 90-year-old walking encyclopedia who knows all the tunes. Like you just say him da 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 da, and he knows this is Gevein, so he spielt. These are important things to treasure and to develop.
Well, I am glad,
glad
that, let me just tell Amy, we're on the air, honey. This is great. You know, this is one of the wonderful things about, internet radio, that you can sit anywhere and
be disturbed by anyone.
And be disturbed by anyone. give me a sec. Here we go. Okay.
We are having here great soup also.
And we're eating soup as well. I know that you were instrumental in helping to found the project in Vilnius.
Ah, the Vilnius Yiddish Institute, the Vilnius Summer Program, yes. This was a very nice, interesting story for quite a while.
And how did you get involved in it? How did you first...
Well, I had a chance to be invited by Professor David Katz to be a teacher in the summer of 1998 or 97, I don't remember exactly now. And so I came there to teach... we were 25 or 30 students from a little bit from the States, and maybe from a little bit from all over. It was not a very versatile, many from the States, a little bit from Europe, from David Katz's Oxford summer course, which he had done before. And he did it in Vilna, and it was I felt that it was a very important thing. And with great potential also, because what was interesting that we could have students from Europe, from the States, because it was not so expensive to be in Vilna. It was actually cheaper than to go to Paris or other places, or Colombia.
Mm.
But also, there was a possibility for students from Hungary, from Lettland, from Czechoslovakia, from Poland, to come. We would not have the opportunity to be to go to Colombia or other places.
Right.
So suddenly you had the East meets West thing. And I realized that the Western, the Jewish history that we have in the West is a different history than we have in the East.
where they were developing behind the Iron Curtain, different memories, different concepts, different. So and when those meet, and every side learns something about himself and about the other. It's very interesting. And I must not tell you about the intensity of the destruction, the Holocaust, which you can feel there, which you cannot feel in Colombia or in Paris, of course not. But there, you could feel it in the air. You could understand the richness that was and the lack of what we have here. So very important from many points of views. Also, that if we had a chance, and we had the chance, of hearing a lecture from a student from Weinreich, and even if she was just speaking for 40 minutes, by her Yiddish, by the way she cut her sentences, by her attitude and by her love for knowledge and culture, a whole world was revealed to you. You could suddenly a little bit sense a taste of what was there before and what we don't have at all. So this was for me a revelation. So then I said to Dovid, and obviously we did not have money, it was always I said to Dovid, I take it upon myself to direct these things for 3 years and to keep it so that we can develop a continuity. And I took it, and not only we kept the continuity of the summer course, but I founded then the Vilnius Yiddish Institute, and this was all was a wonderful experience. 5 years, I think that suddenly in 2 years we had the most beautiful. I think we quite influenced the summer programs, the Yiddish summer programs, like to integrate academic with cultural. This is something that I think I developed it quite well in Vilna, and then it became something that was copied or used. This structure. This is the story. And
do you ever go back? Do you ever have any contact with them anymore?
A little black, a little nasty black cat walked into these things. Like from the moment something starts to be successful, money becomes involved. From the moment the first money started to arrive, suddenly. Other people had other ideas what should be done with it. So I said, I don't want to get into those fights. I don't want to get into those nasty politics. And I wanted to make here something clean and beautiful. Let it remain as this. And I was the cultural director of the summer program in Tel Aviv, the first summer program, which I also set the first 2 years, the Jung Yiddish was doing it together with Beis Sholem Aleichem, with Professor Novostern, and the Goldreich Institute at the Tel Aviv University, which they just started, the Goldreich Institute. And I think that Jung Yiddish did quite avant-garde or quite an important work in setting off this first Yiddish summer program in the Tel Aviv University. Can you imagine? We had to wait for 2006 for this to happen. And we had 100 students. It was very good. Now also they do it by themselves. It's fine. And we are left to renovate and new and other realms.
Well, you've had quite a history in your pursuit of...
I'm still having.
And you are still having the Zahindin Swansik. I know sometimes it becomes discouraging. How do you keep your attitude? How do you keep your good positive energy?
I try to meet people like you from as much as possible. The good thing is that what bothers is when you have to, when you meet clerks and administrators and all kinds of ways. To try to, with words and with structures, to find ways not to help you. That gets very annoying. But when on the other hand, a young person comes in or old person comes in and their eyes shine, they hear a good word, or they hear a song, they're touched
by something which they cannot find in other places. And Yiddish is just, and when they see an object in the exhibit, or when they're told, so when you see the living eye, when you see the mind waking up, when you see the enjoyment that you bring, yes, then it's worth the whole.
But what can you eat that?
This is the question.
But I don't eat so much, you know.
Right, and you can't see that this is a very thin person sitting here.
No, you cannot eat, but then you have friends who help. Friends must help. You know, Yiddish, in all its history, we have never had grand structures. You know, Uriel Weinreich, it was a man, it was one. He wanted to do it, and that's why we have YIVO, Jung Yiddish, this Berenbaum. They were people who wanted to do Strasun. That's why we have the Strasun library, in individuals who had the responsibility to do for the community, and they had individuals around them who felt naturally that they need to help. Yiddish never had structures. Yiddish, we never had, in Poland, did we have 1.5 million kids in Jewish schools, and with all, I made this exhibit of Jewish school books. It's wonderful how great educators, great pedagogical systems that we invented. Why? Because the parents wanted the kids to have a good education, not because they were looking for the Polish or Russian government to help them. No. There was no school, so the parents went, and stone by stone, they built this school. And so there was a school. This is what we have to do. We can nicht verlosen of we don't have an Académie Française. We don't have a Goethe Institute. We don't have. So we can all cry about it, or do the little that we can.
All right. You've heard it from Mendy Kahan. Mendy, you're a very eloquent advocate for Mama Lushu. And an extremely knowledgeable one. It's a pleasure to hear you talk about it. I have to tell you, it's
you see, fascinating.
What's wrong with us?
Yeah.
There must be something wrong with us. We will be presenting Yossel Rockover again in Jerusalem.
On Wednesday.
On Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, at Yirmiyahu 52.
So any of you who are inclined to let your friends know, or who might be listening in Israel, please send them over to Yirmiyahu 52 in Yerushalayim.
If they need to look somewhere, so there's always the website, yiddish.co.il.
Mendy has put out, how many records have you put out?
Just one.
Just the one record. Is it available in the States anywhere?
This they can find on another website, yiddishexpress.com, in one word, yiddishexpress, .com, and the Yiddish Fever CD.
And then I'd love to play for my wife Fever if we could only get it together.
Unfortunately, you put here your CD, it will not.
Now the damn thing is, you know.
Okay. On your next, one of
although
your next.
Although if we put it on the speakers, we'll be able to hear it. Perhaps we can do that, because I would love for them.
Do you have the CD?
Yeah.
Just a minute.
I can just sing it like that. And everyone at home snaps with their fingers.
All right. Here we go. We got a live thing
going. Mein Herz bum 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 geht a klop. Deine meine mach scho besser Regen beugen mein Bauch hat schul und top für Papa Fieber in Frühmorgen Fieber bis spät bei Nacht Fieber wenn ich hole Fieber Fieber wenn ich traf wenn Janke vor der Serie hochlen hot ehren hartzad dinner der git aber in der frieben er hat sich der sei mit leje hat er schrei mola fieber der spiel gekocht da fieber fieber in frimogen fieber feier flamme fieber אַ צחות קעפי ברניצט נרן יידער איינער און אַ פיבר דאס איז גאָר קיין חידיש ניש פיבר איז אַ נאלטע מייסע גיב נאר אין חמש אמיש ודום אנד סו פורט אנד סו פורט
וונדערפול ליריקס וונדערפול And there's a lot more good stuff like
there,
that.
There's some unknown songs which have received a new shirt, like, for instance, Shashtil, popular song, which have given an oriental twist, or to take Manger, Itzik Manger's poem, Push It and Post, and created music for it. Great musicians, it's very privileged to work with them, and especially with... Yankele Segal, who made the arrangements, and there's also Summertime in Yiddish. So there's some new texts, some known songs, and it's a little bit there's three different remakes, and some original creations and some translations. This is the.
And they can buy the album at
yiddishexpress.com. I'm not very good in selling or producing myself.
I noticed that you didn't have any for sale at the performances. Don't you keep some out at the
performance? No, on your performance.
Was meinst du, als was gegeben beleidigt oder was?
Na, aber ich meine nicht, also was ein Käufer soll.
This is Taka Fang, Nigu.
Samachai, sag mal, so ein bisschen ausgeenglischt.
Ja.
Aber sie geht, es ist sehr wichtig, die Arbeit, was du machst, als du aus dem Chosoi Schein komplementiert, will er doch zurückkomplementieren. Also wie zwei Partisaner, also diese weißende Schwierigkeiten, was das heißt, zu arbeiten, in den Bedingungen, wo wir arbeiten. Das heißt, es ist komisch, dass wir dafür arbeiten, in solchen Bedingungen. Weil die größeren Institutionen sind hier auf, aber sie wollten gekannt helfen. So, ich meine, sie sind ihre Möglichkeiten. Du hast mal Musik.
Oh,
doch
let's give a listen. To some more.
Which one you want? Maybe Lomar Zingin Push It in Prost. And this is Summertime. Okay,
Summertime is always good.
It's always good, but then maybe we have to pay plenty of royalties now.
The
Zeit ist nicht. Es ist
ja.
Summerzeit. Es ist nicht Summertime. Es ist Summerzeit.
Well, at least we'll be able to. At least we can thank another Jewish songwriter for this song.
Yeah, Gershowitz.
Gershowitz.
This is what I always say, like when he wrote Porgy. Do you know that Porgy and Bess, the libretto, was actually written for the Dybbuk?
No, I did not know.
So the music of Porgy and Bess, much of it, was actually written for the Dybbuk. They wanted to make a musical for the Dybbuk, but they didn't receive the rights. So much of it, he used it for this effect, which I don't remember where I've read it, but from a serious source, and maybe some of your listeners will follow on. It's a very interesting fact.
That is indeed a very interesting fact. There are many stories like this about the Dybbuk. They wanted to make it into a movie, and they couldn't get the rights, and they couldn't get this and that. And it makes me wonder, people make it so difficult to get the rights to things. Don't they want this material out there? Don't they want this material available to the public?
It's a very, yeah, that's a very interesting question. You know, now Chaim Grade's wife, she passed away, she was bitter that Chaim Grade did not receive the recognition, and she was bitter about Bashevis Singer, and she was so adamant that the material must be published in this way and that way, and so she actually did not give out the rights, and this is one of the reasons why he was not known.
No, but we tried to, we initiated a conversation with through my wife, through Amy, who was a co-founder of the company, and we didn't get past two conversations. And the reason that she got these beleidigt geworden in der Narrigkeit. Ich weiß nicht, ich kenne es gewesen, also in Narisch, also ich gedenke nicht, ich will, was es gewesen. Aber Amy talked to her on the phone, and she said something that she obviously took the wrong way, and that was the end of the conversation. By the way, the material is now in the possession of the Bronx probate court, and God knows how long it will take for this material to get into public hands. Because when she was alive, there were many universities that were willing to pay a great deal of money to receive the archives. And now, of course, it becomes a Svetlana Fashleptikrink. Hopefully in a year or two, it will be available. And
in the meantime, I think that if someone is interested in Chaim Grade, should read it, study it, and
well, at least his material, his works are available. People can read them and enjoy them, at least in translation at this point. I don't know how readily available the Yiddish books of Grade are. Do you have any?
I have. At our library we have. Actually, there's also a catalog, partly catalog, but certainly one can find it on the website of the National Yiddish Book Center, where they have 10,000 titles digitalized, This is a very important resource, and it should be used and used again and publicized. And there are other very interesting websites where you can find Jewish books. Jewishbooks.org, I think, is also a very interesting resource.
Oh, I don't know this one, yeah.
Hebrewbooks.org. Where you can find, 16, 17, 18 century, and also for religious, mainly what do you mean religious? Talmudic, Midrashic, Shailas and Chubas, and also some Yiddish books, research engine.
Well, our time is running out, and I want to thank you, Mandy. I want to thank you, first of all, for the privilege of being able to perform in your space. I want to thank you for being on the show. And if you wanted to look at a definition of mensch in the dictionary, you just got to put a picture of this man next to it, because it's refreshing to find. There's a handful of people in our little world that are really in it lishma, for the sake of the mission, which is the rejuvenation of our wonderful, beautiful Yiddish culture and Yiddish language. And I look forward to the day when there will be young Yiddish writers publishing plays and publishing novels and publishing poetry. There are a few people still publishing poetry and making the attempt. And
creative space, is what the establishment should, those who are able to, the greater, the Fauvels, they should give the possibility of creative space, because academics is not enough.
Academics is talking not enough. And if we don't give people a living context in which to enjoy the heritage that we have, it will eventually simply become an arcane study. So thank you, folks, for not listening.
Thank you letting us chat. So
I want to thank our hosts today,
very kindly allowed us to broadcast from their space. I want to thank ID for being our for being here and inspiring us, and it's really been a wonderful hour.
It's been wonderful.
You know, I'm looking forward to listening to this the archive of this and listening to it again. It's been a lot of fun. So. Thank you out there.
Seid gesinnt und stark im Sozen Treffen mit freilichen Herzen.
Und meine nach freilichen Chaneke. Chag Sameach. And, well, I don't know when we'll be here again, but I look forward to broadcasting from Israel at some point together in the future. And perhaps we can find some more folks in the Yiddish world here to sit down, if they'll sit with us.
Yeah, and if not, we'll Skype.
Okay. Thank you so much and good night.
Good night.